I be playing.
Hello and welcome to the first ever Skybox Show here on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Mark Mayfield, one of the three hosts of this show, along with Dr. George Brown, Executive Director of University Recreation, and Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs here at the University of Alabama. We may be Bama homers, but believe it or not, we've actually been known to be pretty objective when it comes to college football. We decided to launch this show based on the fearless picks we've been doing for several years now on Twitter, and hopefully you might hear some fearless ones today. Also wanted to mention we've got a new Twitter account for this show and hope you'll follow us there. It's at Fearless Picks on Twitter, so again, please do follow us. If you get tired of listening to us this fall, well, the good news is that we're going to have guests each week. Beginning today with the incomparable Paul Feinbaum, we'll get his own prognostication of the Bama-Wisconsin game, how he thinks the Tide will do this season, and some inside information on his highly publicized interview with Coach Nick Saban this week. And each week we'll have a guest fearless picker with us on this show, and we start it today with Dr. Stephen Hood, Associate Vice President for Student Affairs here at UA. We'll see if he's any better than we are at predicting the outcome of today's games. So joining me are the esteemed Drs. Brown and Sterrett. And George, I'm going to throw it over to you. And hello, good to have you, and glad to be here with both of you guys.
Great, Mark, thank you. This is exciting. You know, I think when you're right, when we launched this using the Twitter, who would have thought that we would be doing something like this? And, you know, it's fun, but and I think it's exciting because this new football season is a long time coming. You know, I think this year, as Alabama fans, we know it was a long, long winter and spring leading back into the season, and we're all excited to see the Tide tonight against the Badgers. And but I think, you know, I was reading and seeing somewhere where there are fully 20 teams that expert writers and forecasters say have a chance to make it to the national championship semifinals. So I think it's a wide open season. I think it's a great opportunity to talk about a lot of teams that I think are on their way up. Perhaps some teams that may be looking to hang on, perhaps. I think the SEC is in a very interesting year this year, but this is a really, really exciting time to be here, and I think we may get a few more right than wrong, but who knows? It's a lot of fun, and I'm glad we're launching this on 90.7, The Capstone.
And Adam Sterrett.
Also excited to be here. I agree with George. I think the season's got a lot in front of us, and I think the season is going to be – full of surprises. I think if any of us talked about last year picking Ohio State to have the kind of dominance that they did later in the season would have been laughable, quite frankly, at any point of the season other than the last couple weeks, but even leading into the championship game. So look forward to the games this weekend for sure. Love kicking off on Thursday night and having a full slate of games all the way through Labor Day evening. And I'm just excited to get started. So happy to be here with you guys. Let's get started right away with the Thursday night slate of games. We had two SEC games kicking off, North Carolina at South Carolina in Charlotte. I will say that on Twitter, I think I pretty much got it right as far as North Carolina could win that game and they're going to fumble away at the end, and that's exactly what happened. And so it was an ugly game, I think we all agree, and North Carolina could have won it, South Carolina won it, but I don't think there's any winner in this game. What about you, fellas?
It's hard for me if I'm an objective South Carolina fan to take a lot of solace in this. I know that they're looking for a better season and they got a win, and that's certainly, you know, better than the alternative. But no, I just didn't see it was sloppy. It was not indicative of the pace that Spurrier likes. 17-14 is not a game that you typically associate with South Carolina winning, and North Carolina's not that good. And I don't think this was convincing on neutral turf. I think the fan split was pretty close. So maybe they build upon this. But, Mark, I don't know. What do you think?
I agree. It was just an ugly game. I mean, I mean, on one level, it is the beginning of the season, so you expect a lot of that. But the quarterback play was truly bad. I guess you could say the defenses were good, although I heard one of the announcers talking about an interception, how great that was. And I'm like, it's right in his numbers. You could not intercept that. You know what I mean? It's like, I wasn't impressed with either team. I think it made me think South Carolina's going to have a tough go in the SEC this year. But Spurrier always manages to step it up, and but that was kind of a tough game to watch, tell you the truth, and I really wanted to see that. But it was not a great game.
It looks like Spurrier has another tough quarterback, and doesn't really have the quarterback that he needs to play the kind of ball that he wants to. And so I don't know that that's going to change in 6 or 8 weeks. I think he's going to have a tough go of it this season.
Yep.
And, guys, I got to say this. I mean, we're going to talk about the other SEC game next. But, if they're saying that Florida is perhaps one of, if not the weaker teams in the East, and we saw Vandy tonight in South Carolina, the East is not coming out of the gate strong.
No. Not at all. No. Not at all. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, and then Nashville on a Thursday night, where else do you want to be? Certainly that wasn't where Vanderbilt wanted to be. Western Kentucky comes in. And, I picked Western Kentucky. I'm not going to gloat. Well, I am going to gloat a little bit. But Western Kentucky did win the game, and they were the better football team. There were some mistakes, a lot of mistakes. I thought Vanderbilt's defense late began to tire. I think initially they were holding down a really potent Western Kentucky quarterback who's highly touted. But in the end, Vandy marched down the field. I did think the end drive to get it to 14-12 was impressive. It showed some heart. But I'm not sure if that was the play you want to call on a rollout right, knowing that that guy's got to get to the end zone to tie the game. So, Derek Mason's future, Mark, I don't know. What do you think?
I think I believe it could be tough for him. Second season, not starting out well. They had a lot of momentum there a couple of years ago, and I think they've lost that. My initial feeling was just, Vandy letting the SEC down last night. although I will say I chose Vandy, and I think both of you guys chose Western Kentucky. So I'm the loser on this one. And I thought being home they'd be inspired. It's going to be a tough year in Nashville, I think, for Vanderbilt. Adam, what do you
think? I think we were all losers for watching that game. I think it was really a slow, painful game to watch, too, more so maybe than even North Carolina, South Carolina. So I picked Western Kentucky, but I think you're right. I think Vandy's going to have a tough year, and they're going to get better for a year or two, and then they're going to go back down for 3 or 4 years, and I think they're just going to spend some time as getting beaten up in the SEC again for sure.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back here and talk about a couple other major games on Thursday night. But you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Who says you gotta choose between country, soul, folk, or rock and roll? Every time you listen to the Cosmic American Hour, you're gonna get a little bit of everything. That's every Sunday night from 9 to 10 right here on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM needs a lip sync hero. Do you think you have what it takes? For a chance to win, submit your best lip sync at lipsynchero.ua.edu. The most popular lip sync performers will appear live on stage September 25th, competing for a 35-quart Yeti cooler from Woods & Water. We're looking for a lip sync hero. Could it be you? WVUAFM would like to thank Woods & Water for sponsoring this event.
Welcome back. You're listening to Skybox 90.7 on the Capstone, and here with Mark Mayfield and Adam Sterrett, George Brown, and we're glad you're here. And follow us at Twitter at Fearless Picks, where we're sure to get a few of them right because we get lucky sometimes. We've got a few more Thursday games to go through. Guys, I think everybody was pretty intrigued by the Harbaugh era beginning, and it didn't disappoint. I think it was a good football game. I came away. We all got this one right. Utah won it. It wasn't easy, but I was impressed with Utah. I'm always impressed with Utah. They seem to be well coached, but I wasn't unimpressed with Michigan. What do you think?
That's a great way to put it, George. I think they both came out of that game with something. Obviously, Utah got the win, but they were at home. I think Michigan, with coming back there at the end, with making it more respectable. I think you got the impression that Michigan under Harbaugh is going to be a really tough team down the road. They look pretty disciplined. He just doesn't have the athletes yet he's probably needing for that program. I was thinking too, as I was watching the offense, already it looked a little like Stanford to me, already you could sort of see a little of his work at Stanford in that Michigan team. It's just that they just don't have the skill players yet. Adam, what do you think?
I think you're right, Mark. I think that the offense looked very, very different from the previous few years of Michigan offense. I think Utah has a great quarterback. I think that was the best quarterback that I saw on Thursday night for sure. And I read the headlines about Michigan's got hope now because of Harbaugh, even though it's a loss. And so I think that's probably true, but it's still a down time for Michigan, I think. And so I don't know how many games they're going to I'm going to pause.
Well, you said that they have hope, right? They don't have hoke anymore.
That's true. So, they have hope.
So they clearly
hope.
Have made a step up from hoke to hope. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think they're still going to lose a handful of games this year. They're a ways away from really competing in the Big Ten for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, TCU, I think we all thought they would win. I got to be honest, guys. I'm kind of deferring to you. We had a lot of discussions earlier in the week as we lead up to this first show, and you guys were telling me you're a little watered down on TCU, and Javon Boykin did not do what I thought he would do and run all over the Golden Gopher turf. So, I don't know. Underwhelmed?
Yeah, well, Mark and I both talked about thinking that TCU would have a tougher time with Minnesota and maybe would have a little bit of a letdown from being – hyped so much over the last 9 months or whatever about how they deserved something better than they got, and I don't think they did.
That's true. Minnesota's a tough place to play. Mm-hmm. I think TCU's ranked really high at number two. I think we did talk, Adam, a little bit about the fact this may not be last year for them. This may be a different team, obviously, and that was a tougher opener, I think, than a lot of people out there expected. But I think that's what we're talking about. We did talk about it might not be the same TCU, and Minnesota's a tough place to play. So I think those combined, it made a good football game.
It
was a pretty entertaining game.
I think playing outside at Minnesota is only going to get tougher as the year progresses.
Oh, yeah.
And so they could surprise some teams again this year, and they surprised a couple of teams last year as well.
Yeah.
Well, Duke went down to the Big Easy, and I was impressed. Duke looks good. I you can talk about Florida State, and perhaps Virginia Tech is a little better this year in the ACC. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to go through Durham, and I think Duke is not bad at all. Tulane did not have much. They did not look good at home. But this was, a good win out of the gate for the Blue Devils.
Well, and we're not going to talk about Georgia Tech much, but Georgia Tech had a huge win, and so I think you could be talking about Duke and Georgia Tech in the ACC.
Yeah. Only because Alcorn State probably
it's
not
true.
Of the level of Tulane, but maybe they are. I don't know. Tulane was not good.
Yeah. I think Duke, the program there now, it's a really good program. I think Georgia Tech and Duke are going to make a splash in that conference. Obviously, Florida State is still the
Clemson,
and Clemson too this year. Yeah, absolutely. That ACC is going to be really competitive this year. But yeah, I think we all expected Duke to take that one, and they went down there and did it.
They took care of business. And so late night, and I think I'm going to defer to my great colleague Adam Sterrett, who actually was up at midnight on Thursday night, Friday morning, watching the Colorado Buffs upset by the Hawaii Rainbow.
True. I technically was not up at midnight. I was up in the third quarter there for a little bit of the 3 a.m. window and saw a bit of this game. And Hawaii looked pretty good. I picked Colorado, and I think all three of us picked Colorado, and we were all wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hawaii looked like a pretty strong football team, and I said on Twitter last night or at some point over the middle of the evening that I think Hawaii is going to surprise a few teams this year, and so they surprised all three of us last night for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think the Colorado guys probably just, enjoyed the visit to the island. I think that was the problem for them. And playing the Rainbow Warriors out there is tough. I mean, they can come up and do that every now and then, and I think that's what we saw. I still expected, and I think you guys did as well, Colorado to take that. But it's still not surprising really that much in that Colorado lost. That program has still got a long way to go to build back.
Colorado should be a much better football program right now. And I think we all remember a time that they were a real competitor and they just haven't been for a number of years. And so that needs to change.
I'm not sure if Colorado going to the Pac-12 has been good for the Pac-12.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there was an expectation this would elevate the Pac-12 even more. So work in progress.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say this about, and I think we all agree on this, about it was great to have this many games on a Thursday night. I mean,
absolutely,
that was a great way to start the football season this year. And I think, there are a couple of things that didn't happen, a couple of things that did. One of them is, I didn't see Spurrier's visor down too many enough times. I did see it fall accidentally once. When he picked his took his headset off and his visor fell. But I was hoping he'd throw it a few times. And the second thing was, did you see the thing called the dramatic chipmunk on the screen at the TCU Minnesota game? I love that. That is why we love college football. The kicker, the TCU's kicker, is having to look into this giant screen at the home of the Golden Gophers and see the quote dramatic chipmunk end quote up there on the big screen. I loved it, and even for non-college football fans, I think they would have got a kick out of that. But for those of us who love the sport, it was really fun to see it and part of the kind of the pageantry of college football. Well, look, we'll take a quick break now and come back with guest picks from Dr. Stephen Hood. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Tune in to 90.7 The Capstone Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 for the R&B Hour, hosted by yours truly, Ben. I'll be playing R&B hits from the past as well as what's topping the charts today. So tune in to 90.7 Wednesday nights at 8 for the best R&B music around.
WVUAFM needs a lip sync hero. Do you think you have what it takes? For a chance to win, submit your best lip sync at lipsynchero.ua.edu. The most popular lip sync performers will appear live on stage September 25th, competing for a 35-quart Yeti cooler from Woods & Water. We're looking for a lip sync hero. Could it be you? WVUAFM would like to thank Woods & Water for sponsoring this event.
Hi, I'm Drew Ernie, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
It's now time to bring up Stephen Hood for our guest pick segment on Skybox. So, Stephen, how did Thursday night turn out for you with your picks?
Yeah, Thursday night was pretty rough for me, Adam. Started out, I was excited about football kicking off in South Carolina and North Carolina. I did fortunately pull that one out, but I'm not sure South Carolina deserved to win that game, but I'll take the win there. That was an ugly ball game.
That was a bad game
out there
to
in
watch.
Charlotte.
Yep.
Then we moved on to Vanderbilt, Western Kentucky. I came up a little short there. I thought the SEC would have enough strength to outdo the Sun. I believe Western Kentucky's in the Sun Belt. Thought they could take care of business, but drop pass after drop pass, interceptions. Vanderbilt just couldn't get it done. Looking kind of rough on the horizon for Vanderbilt. I'm afraid at the end of the year they may be looking for a new coach after only 2 years.
I think if it was an academic tournament, then maybe Vandy had the advantage.
Vandy definitely smarter on the field. I think they know what's going on, but that physical execution just not quite working out for them. Then lastly, on Thursday night, again, I went with the Jim Harbaugh strength factor, or so I thought. And frankly, I like the colors of Michigan, but that didn't really work out for me too well. Utah had the home field advantage. There was a lot of red there. Those Utes were getting it done. And Michigan made it close there at the end with that late touchdown and onside kick attempt, but just not enough. And Utah comes away strong, and so I missed that one too. So rough Thursday night for me.
So what? Just math wise, what is that then? Are those three games? What exactly was that?
I believe there was one really strong win there. One. Started out 1-0.
Started out 1-0. Okay, and so then how did, by the end of Thursday evening, Stephen, I'm wondering exactly how did it end up?
Well, it depends on what time zone you're in, but I guess technically you'd have to say I was 1-2 at the end of Thursday.
Okay, technically. I just want to make sure that
listeners
know technically what's happening.
Here at Skybox, they're not the most welcoming of hosts for their guests, but yes, I was 1-2 there, Adam.
I have a feeling that Dr. Stephen Hood may never come back on this show. But, Stephen, time for redemption. Saturday is upon us, and here we are. And, you know, there's a full slate of games. The SEC schools are in full tilt. Quite admittedly, I think you can better your record coming up here. But let's just run down the lineup, if you don't mind. And we'll start with the morning tilt on the SEC network, Louisiana Monroe and Georgia.
Louisiana Monroe and Georgia, you know, that's a tough game, but I'm pretty sure Georgia's going to come out on that one. They've got a little too much strength there. We'll take Georgia.
UT Martin travels to Oxford.
You know, I used to live in the great state of Tennessee, but I think UT Martin should probably stay in Martin. They're not going to have a lot of success against Ole Miss this afternoon.
Smart boys game, smart girls game, Stanford and Northwestern in Chicago.
In Chicago, you know, if it was out on the West Coast, I would be more confident in my Stanford pick, but I'm still going to go with Stanford. I believe they get the job done against Northwestern.
Penn State opens in Philadelphia against Temple.
You know, Penn State has some ugly uniforms. They're classic uniforms, I know some people call them. I think they'll get the job done against Temple. Frankly, I didn't even realize Temple had a football team.
University of Texas, El Paso, the Miners travel to Fayetteville.
Well, Arkansas is on an uptick. I think they can hold off UTEP. We'll just go with that. The Hogs will be singing Woo Pig Suey throughout the afternoon today.
And over on CBS at 2:30, Louisville and Auburn from Atlanta.
Yeah, big game. Both those teams are going to be hyped and ready to go. Louisville's pretty excited, but I just don't think they've got the power or the speed to keep up with Auburn. They will wear them down. Louisville might keep it close in the first half, but just going to be too much of Rhett Lashley and that high-paced offense from the plains. So I think Auburn will get it done, and there'll be a former trustee at Auburn University that may be struggling through that game.
And for the four people that are not watching that game that hour, Virginia and UCLA.
Virginia and UCLA, yeah, I think I'm going to go with the boys out on the West Coast. I think UCLA will get it done against Virginia. Just not quite enough there in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Let's take you back to your home state here. The Falcons of Bowling Green at Tennessee. Are you going to soar with the Falcons, or are you going to pick the Orange of Tennessee?
I did live in Tennessee for a while, and Rocky Top was never among my favorites. But in this one, it's going to be hard to go against Rocky Top. I'll take the Vols today.
Another SEC game, a pretty big game for the day, Arizona State at Texas A&M in the great city of Houston.
You know, I'd feel a lot better picking Texas A&M if Johnny Manziel was still playing for them, but I'm going to count on John Chavis. He's really upped the defense for the Aggies, at least I hope he has, and I'm going to pick A&M to pull out what may be a tight game this evening against Arizona State.
Tight game. Mm-hmm. Another University of Louisiana Lafayette campus at Kentucky and Mark Stoops.
Yeah, you know, I like to go with the SEC, but I'm a little worried about this one. Louisiana Lafayette, they can be an upset, but I'll stick with the Cats at home in Lexington in a tight one.
They say that this is the hardest ticket to get this weekend, Texas at Notre Dame.
Yeah. Charlie Strong is making improvements there at Texas, but I believe it's going to be a little too much of the Fighting Irish. I think they will get it done. tonight against Texas, but Texas will be back. Look for them next year.
You see a close game or you see a blowout here?
I think it'll be fairly close. Notre Dame may separate a little bit in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Another team that wears purple and gold, I believe, maybe purple and yellow, is playing McNeese State. Do you have a choice there?
Yeah. Picking LSU is about like picking Tennessee. It's hard to do, but McNeese State, just not enough to get the job done. Tigers will take that one. No trouble.
New Mexico State at a university in Alachua County in Florida. I'm not sure exactly what they do down there, but they have colors as well, apparently, and a mascot and everything.
Yeah. Again, this is another tough one. I lived in Florida earlier in my life, but I believe Florida will get it done against New Mexico State. Again, it's too much strength in the SEC.
A lot of Gator fans there in Pensacola.
Yeah, there are a few. There are a few.
And then we get to the night game. Tonight's 7 o'clock game on ABC, the Wisconsin Badgers and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
This is the game we're all excited about. We're all wondering who's going to take that first snap. I'm going to go out on a limb. I think Jake Coker is going to be the guy under center tonight for the Tide. I actually look for Coker to have a really good game. I think he is going to solidify himself as the Tide quarterback for the year. And we'll quiet a lot of the critics as we go throughout this season. I look for Wisconsin to be tough early, but that Alabama defense is just going to be too much. Reggie Ragland and those guys on the defensive side of the ball will give up very little. And while Wisconsin may move the ball a little early in the game, they will not score early. And I look for Bama to really separate in the second half and take this one walking away.
And you think Coker will open under center?
I think so.
Okay. Well, we only put Florida State games on here because of Adam, but Texas State versus Florida State. I don't even know why they're playing this game, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, with Jameis Winston now quarterbacking for, is it the Jaguars?
Yeah,
I believe he's
Buccaneers.
Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, Tampa Bay, you're right.
Well, they're technically different teams.
Yeah.
Well,
Probably getting paid about the same, though.
Probably pretty close. The supervision will probably be similar to what he saw in Tallahassee as well. You know, I really like Texas State in this game. They're a tough team, but Florida State will probably inch this one out at the bitter end. It might take a field goal for them to secure that win. Texas State's tougher than most people realize.
Late 9 o'clock, Fox South tonight. Fox Sports 1, Mississippi State versus Southern Mississippi in Hattiesburg, interestingly.
In Hattiesburg. I've got a niece that's a junior at Southern Miss this year. Afraid she's going to be really embarrassed later tonight. Southern Miss just not looking very good for them. Mississippi State, they're not at the top of the SEC, obviously, but Southern Miss is just struggling too much to keep up with Dan Mullen's team. I like the Bulldogs.
Then the Monday night Labor Day finale, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, revenge, but in Blacksburg. What do you think?
I think a little Beamer ball is going to keep that game interesting early on. I look for Virginia Tech to do some of their traditional tricks and maybe block a punt, something like that, to keep it interesting. But in the end, Urban Meyer and three quarterbacks that could start almost anywhere in the country will get the job done, and they'll win over Virginia Tech in Blacksburg.
Adam, I think his record's going to improve significantly after Monday.
I think so, too. You know, it is really hard to not improve from 1-2, though. I will say that. But I do see a lot of strong picks there. Steven, we can't thank you enough for joining our first show. We are so proud to have you as our first guest, and thank you so much for your time.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I really enjoyed.
There's a special pick. There's a special pick.
We've got the big matchup between Jacksonville State Gamecocks coming in as the number 7-8 team in FCS. Coming into Chattanooga, your former employer, and I know you have a lot of ties and colleagues. UT Chattanooga. Quickly, which way?
Big game. Jacksonville State and the Mocs have been kicking it off, I believe, the last 3 years. Played early, maybe the last 4 or 5 years. Had a big impact on both their seasons. Number 7 versus number 8. Jacksonville State, a little bit of a nod in the ranking. Although you wouldn't realize that the Mocs are 26-12 over the history of this series. They've been playing for over 100 years. Now, I realize that's clearly not every year. Mocs gotten it done overall. Jacksonville State's won the last 2 years. But this afternoon, they're playing in Finley Stadium, one of the best stadiums in FCS in the country. And I like the Huseman factor. Huseman factor is Coach Russ Huseman for the Mocs, played there in the early 80s. His son is a senior quarterback for the Mocs. He's a dual threat guy. He will get the job done. Big crowd out there in Chattanooga tonight, and they will send Jacksonville State home with a loss.
Wow.
All right. That's a tough pick.
That's
there.
Expert
That's
picking right
that
there.
Is.
Good
That's
work.
That's impressive. That's impressive. Thank you so much once again, Stephen. You're lucky Texas State's not in that game, but I think the Jacksonville State, UT Chattanooga.
Texas State might beat
be
the Mocs tonight if they were there.
That'll be a great one.
Texas State, that need to show up.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Rick Lewis here. You can kick back with me every Monday night from 11 to 12 as I take a current band and go back in time to explore their musical influences on my show, Modern Nostalgia, only on 90.7 The Capstone, Old Time.
WVUA-FM needs a lip sync hero. Do you think you have what it takes? For a chance to win, submit your best lip sync at lipsynchero.ua.edu. The most popular lip sync performers will appear live on stage September 25th, competing for a 35-quart Yeti cooler from Woods & Water. We're looking for a lip sync hero. Could it be you? WVUA-FM would like to thank Woods & Water for sponsoring this event.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
I want to welcome Paul Feinbaum to our first ever Skybox show today. I think everybody in the college football world knows him as the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show on the SEC Network and ESPN Radio. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Mark, it is my pleasure. Thank you.
Great. It's great to have you. And I want to talk to you about a couple of things. First, about the Saban interview you just did and, you know, making a lot of news with that. It was a great interview. Obviously, the big news out of that, it sounded like, was the coach saying he should have won 8 championships. Did that surprise you? What do you think about that as he was saying it?
I think that is just who Nick Saban really is. Mark, we were talking about really the fact that he so much attention has been placed on the program, so much negativity, and you know, he seemed really surprised by that. And I just simply made the point that you won 4 national championships, you would think it almost seems like the world's coming to an end. And he said, "Well, we may have won 4, but you know, we had good enough teams to win 8." Which shows you who he is. I mean, most people listening know Nick Saban as competitive and great champions and great coaches and great people in any field. Really, sometimes obsess over what they didn't accomplish versus what they did.
Right, right. I mean, he you know, it sounds like he's always thinking about the next. I recall after they won the 2009 championship, and he said, you know, right the next day they were in there talking about the, you know, the next season. You know, it sounds like even the morning after they won the championship, it seems like he's always looking at what can be improved, right? I mean, sounds like
that is exactly correct. I brought that up to him, and he kind of scoffed. But after 2 different championships, one time he told me, another time he told someone else I know, he said, "Yeah, that's great, but it cost me a week in recruiting." It's like, you know, you can't win with Saban sometimes unless you're an Alabama fan.
Well, what do you think? You know, this is his 9th season at Alabama, and, you know, I think the longest tenure he's had. What do you think his plans are? It was interesting, I think, in his comments to you about retirement and that kind of thing. How long do you think he'll go?
I've always thought that he was close to the end until the 2 or 3 times we were together this year. The piece actually ends with a different comment than has been made available, where he says that he will coach as long as he thinks he's capable. I know it's a cliched line, but he quickly came back and said that we haven't gotten to that point yet. So I always thought he was interested in television, but the more I've thought about it and the more I've spoken to people around him, I don't think Nick Saban is going to be happy doing anything other than what he's doing. And right now, as long as it's at a very high level, Saban's going to be 64 in late October. You know, Spurrier's 70. He's going through a lot of questions, but no one's really questioning Nick Saban, questioning the fact that he's too old. That has never come up, and I don't see it coming up.
Yeah. He seems every bit as into football and coaching as he's always been. He seems to be on the top of his game still, it seems like. But that brings me to this season. What do you think about Alabama in this season? It's a really tough schedule, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know when I've ever been more confused about trying to analyze Alabama's record or schedule. I mean, I think they'll lose. I think Georgia is probably a very difficult opponent. But, you know, it's always hard to get too deep into the weeds on they'll win this game or that game because you don't really know what the league is going to look like. But I do know one thing. Saban is still the best coach in the game, in my mind. He has been the best recruiter for a number of years. I know people say the game has changed and is passing by in certain aspects, particularly on defense. I don't think so. My biggest concern is the quarterback position and the offense. I don't think it is going to be explosive, but I do think the defense is good enough to keep Alabama alive in every game, and I think they'll survive the season with a loss or two. And I give them a realistic shot at making the 14 playoff.
Okay. With Wisconsin, how do you see that game unfolding?
I think it will be hard to watch at times, but I think Alabama is superior and on almost every at almost every position. And I think it will be similar to West Virginia last year. Alabama will not roll like Alabama fans would like to see them, like they did against Michigan 3 years ago. But I do think it will be a slow progression, and finally in the fourth quarter, Alabama will go up by two touchdowns or something like that, and it will be over.
Okay. What about any guesses on the quarterback with Alabama?
I don't know why. I'm going to live and die with my projection of Jacob Coker. It's probably not the smartest chip in Vegas to go with him, but I think – he has more experience. The fact that no one else has come up and won the job would tend for me to believe that he's probably going to be the starting quarterback.
Okay. All right. And just in closing here with you, how's everything going? You know, the SEC Network's been going, what, a year now? And how's it all working out? Seems to be going well from where I sit.
Yeah, it's amazing, Mark. When you think about a year ago, no one really knew what we were doing. No one knew they knew about us, but they didn't know what it was. I think the product is quite good as far as what we've done. The challenge was moving a radio show to television and preserving basically what we've always been known for, and that's callers. I mean, we still have a lot of callers, and they're as crazy as ever. Probably the biggest difference is we've added a lot more substance in terms of guests. And I'm pleased with where we are.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, look, it's a pleasure to have you on the inaugural Skybox show for us. It means a really lot to us. And when you're on campus, please come by student media and say hello to all of us. And by the way, I want to call your attention to Kelly Ward with the Crimson White here. Has a great story out today on Nick Saban, as called The Closer, which is about Saban's helping other sports here at UA land top recruits, even during football. It's a pretty good story. So, hey, take it.
Well, no, Mark, as you know, without the school newspaper in Knoxville, there's no telling what I would be doing. I'd probably be stealing money from people as a lawyer. So I'm thank goodness I went down this path. It's changed my life, and I know how important it is.
Well, we're all glad you did. It's a pleasure talking to you, Paul, and have a great year with the network and your show, and look forward to seeing you soon. So thanks a million for this.
Mark, it's my pleasure. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. We'll see you.
You got it.
Bye.
Well, we're really fortunate to have Paul Feinbaum, I think, for our kickoff show. No one better than someone that knows the SEC and college football and has made such an impact in really a short period of time with the ESPN and SEC Network. Guys, I don't know. I think Paul was spot on several things. That relentless pursuit of perfection, always looking ahead. And I think what I found most intriguing on that was, you know, Nick Saban is a young 64. I think he's in good health. He appears to be. I think he's very happy in Tuscaloosa. I think he's very happy. His family is here. Miss Terry, I think that's a big part of his support system. I tend to agree. I don't think that we are counting down the days of Nick Saban. I think if he can attack and recruit with the vigor that he has, I could see him coaching till he's 70.
Yeah, I agree. I think, it's interesting, Paul's comments, because we all know Paul's pretty honest about this stuff. He's straightforward about what he thinks about coaches, and the respect he has for Nick Saban is obvious. And I agree with you, George, on the, you know, Saban is a young 64. I mean, it's just, clearly, whereas some people can get tired and worn out in that profession, he seems to actually – get better and better at it and enjoy it more and more. And, it's interesting hearing Paul's comments about that. But I don't think Nick Saban's ready to retire.
Paul talked about some of the same things that we've discussed, too, about being somewhat confused about the upcoming Alabama season and not really knowing what we're going to be, being confident in the defense, and then thinking that Coker's going to start but not being – very confident what the offense is going to be going into the season, thinking that we're going to lose a game or two. He mentioned Georgia right away, right, as a tough game.
He saw that as a loss.
Yep, early October. Yep. And
I can't disagree.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one, right?
We're going to get to that point on this show when we have to decide about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think him, Coach Saban not wanting to ever be stagnant and constantly looking to move forward, I think you hear that from these championship coaches all the time, and that they feel like they're in the same place physically, but they want to move the team forward, 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 forward. So I think that was really interesting too.
Yeah. We're going to talk here later about our picks for today's games. But I think his comments on Alabama's season also and how they'll start out against Wisconsin were all interesting and very hard to argue with, in terms
absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. Hey, we're about to get to Fearless Picks. After the break, Mark and Adam and I will launch into our prognostication. So you're listening to Skybox 90.7 on the Capstone, and come right back with us, and we'll have some picks for you.
Says you got to choose between country, soul, folk, or rock and roll. Every time you listen to the Cosmic American Hour, you're going to get a little bit of everything. That's every Sunday night from 9 to 10 right here on 90.7 The Capstone.
Tune in to 90.7 The Capstone Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 for the R&B Hour, hosted by yours truly, Ben. I'll be playing R&B hits from the past as well as what's topping the charts today. So tune in to 90.7 Wednesday nights at 8 for the best R&B music around.
Hi, I'm William McGavin, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back, everybody, to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. This is the portion of the show I think we've all been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, the Fearless Picks. Now, you can't get all of these on at Fearless Picks, but please do continue to follow us on Twitter. But here we go, folks. Let's start off with a couple games that, quite frankly, are easy to talk about. We've got Georgia and Ole Miss both playing early cupcakes with directional schools in Monroe and Martin. And I think all three of us have Georgia and Ole Miss winning these running away, quite frankly, right?
Yeah, there's they're actually in on the betting lines. Martin's not even on the board, so I think Ole Miss will name their score. The only thing I'm interested at all about Monroe and Georgia is that they're both opponents of Alabama's down the road, so we get to see two for one. So I may tune in for a while. I'm not very interested in Martin Ole Miss, but yeah, I think the SEC wins easy here.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if Chubb's going to get 300 yards or 800 yards rushing. I'm not really sure in Monroe. But, yeah, the big problem for Georgia and Ole Miss probably in those two games is just keeping the score down. Not getting hurt. Getting their starters out of there as fast as possible and getting ready for a really tough SEC run. But like I said, George, I think it'll be interesting just from the perspective of looking at these two teams in terms of Bama has to play both of them and seeing what they got. So anyhow, those are if we miss those picks, we probably should just give it up.
We should. You may not hear it.
Change the show to fearful picks.
Right.
Stanford at Northwestern. We've got an academic battle here. Stanford in the past has been really pretty strong for the last number of years. Northwestern has flirted with being a real competitor in the Big Ten, but has fallen short the last few years. What do you guys have for that one?
I think Northwestern may be taking a slight step back. I think because both the Michigan schools and Ohio State have stepped their game up. I think Penn State's improving. I think Northwestern may be the odd man out. I know Stanford's traveling across country. It's a 11 o'clock Central Time kickoff today, just a little bit after our show ends today. I like Stanford. I think Stanford by two touchdowns.
I agree. I think Stanford's going to go in there. I think it might be a little hard fought in the beginning. It is at Northwestern, and it can be tough to go in there. But I think Stanford basically runs away with that, at least in the fourth quarter, if it's not over by halftime. But I don't think Stanford's going to have to worry too much about that. Even though it is at Northwestern, there's always a chance they could step up.
We all agree there. I think Stanford will not really compete in the Pac-12 this year necessarily, as they have in the past, but they're certainly going to take care of Northwestern. Moving over to a Big Ten game, Penn State at Temple. George?
Well, Franklin's good. He's exciting. He's effervescent. He'll go on the road. We will see if Penn State is improving. This is big for recruiting. Anytime you go into Temple, you've got great recruiting opportunities there. Yeah, I think Penn State wins this one. It may be a little closer. I've watched the historical scores of this game. I think Temple treats this as a big rivalry, but I think the Nittany Lions win by at least 10.
I agree. I think a couple touchdowns sounds right. The interesting thing to me with Penn State is Franklin getting more established there, and obviously I think they're missing him in Nashville.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I think Penn State will win big, more than two touchdowns. I think they will win a good number of games this year. Maybe not be all the way back, but I think year by year they're chipping away at it and getting back to being relevant. Another one, UTEP, the Miners at Arkansas, another opponent that we've got coming pretty soon for homecoming here at Alabama. What do you have, Mark?
Arkansas should run away with that one. The line is like 38 points or something.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. I'm not – it depends on whether Arkansas – how soon they rest their starters in that game as to whether they cover the line or not. But I'm really interested in how Arkansas is going to look this year. I think we all think they're going to be really tough to deal with in conference and in the SEC West. And this is going to give us some indication of how they start the season. But they're high expectations, as you know, for Arkansas this year.
Big and physical. I think that's what they'll be. They'll win. They'll score early and often. It's over by halftime, if not before. Arkansas.
Yeah. All right. Louisville-Auburn, a really, really big game here being played in Atlanta. And I'm going to have to stick with Malzahn and Auburn in this one. I think they'll open up the season with a win. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think this could be a really high-scoring football game. I think Petrino is also getting established now at Louisville, and that offense is going to be flying high, I think. Adam, what do you think?
Well, I think that we call this show Fearless Picks for a reason, gentlemen. And I think Louisville's going to take Auburn. I think it will be close. I think it'll be high-scoring. Relatively speaking, but I think Petrino has been there long enough to have some speed on the field. I think Auburn will be strong defensively, still figuring out offensively, and maybe the Auburn magic will be gone. I think they've as we all know, lucked into some things over the last few years, and I think they will be surprised by Louisville. I think there'll be a strong crowd for Auburn in Atlanta for sure. I think that they will own the Georgia Dome as far as crowd goes, but I think Louisville's going to win this one. I think I'm going out on a limb here and saying that Louisville's going to win a tough game with speed, with offense, and with not really worrying about defense necessarily.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope Louisville is what they say they're going to be, and the identity that they're trying to forge is a very up-tempo, aggressive, hard-hitting team on both sides of the ball. I was torn on this game. In the end, I'm going to lean with my colleague Mark and go with Auburn. I'm very interested in seeing Auburn's overall speed. I'm looking at their secondary. They clearly have holes to fill there. Their skill position players are very, very good. This is the era, the beginning of the Jeremy Johnson era. So we shall see if he's the next incarnation of Cam Newton. So, but I'm going to go with Auburn. I think they'll win. It's going to be close, though.
What about Virginia and UCLA? I think UCLA wins this one. Again, some high hopes out there in Los Angeles for the Bruins. I don't think they'll have much trouble with this. I think they're going to that game will be over at halftime, I really believe.
They'll trounce them. I absolutely agree. Yeah. The question will be, is UCLA a relevant team again nationally like we've talked about the last few years, like they're talking about again this year? But the question is not whether they're going to beat the heck out of Virginia.
This game wasn't close when they played. This is a home-and-home series they played.
Right.
Started last year in Charlottesville, and it wasn't close there. It will be even worse here. I think UCLA has the potential to be very good this year in the Pac-12. Here we go back to the SEC, Tennessee and Bowling Green. This is perhaps a little bit intriguing. For me, the big thing is Butch Jones and what's he got. Other than Arkansas, Tennessee is the most hyped team. There are several writers picking Tennessee to win the East. I don't think Bowling Green's going to tell us that story. But, you know, Adam, I think you know a little bit about Mac. I have a little bit of a Mac connection from my graduate school days. But has Bowling Green got enough? I don't think they do, but could it be interesting?
I think it could be a decent game for a quarter, maybe a half. I would love to soar with the Falcons and choose Bowling Green, but I think Tennessee's going to win. I will say, though, that Bowling Green, right outside of Bowling Green University, the University of Bowling Green, are the finest stuffed breadsticks I've ever had in my life. At the Poly Eyes next to the Bowling Green campus. And so if this was a contest of stuffed breadsticks, Bowling Green will win 10 times in a row, but I think that Tennessee's going to beat them up.
Well, you know, for Bowling Green, at least they got that going for them, right?
Yeah, the breadsticks really are fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, I think the Vols start out. I'm anxious to see Dobbs in this game. Mm-hmm. I think they start out with a big win. I think it could be a little interesting early, but I think we'll see, the Tennessee pull away really well in that game and win it going away. So what about let's move to Arizona State at Texas A&M. They're playing this in Houston, actually, a really big game. I'm going to go with A&M on this. This is a tough pick. I'm not sure going with A&M is a fearless pick, but I think it's a tough pick. Arizona State certainly has the ability to come in there and beat A&M. And A&M, is a little question mark there after last season. But I think it's in Houston, and I think A&M takes this game.
I'm going to agree with you on that. I think this is when we're going to see the dividends of Sumlin's recruiting. I think this is a very good football team. I am cautious about them. I think they could make a difference in the SEC West this year. They've got a favorable home schedule. I think this is a shootout. It's going to be a lot of points, but I'll take A&M.
I think Texas A&M takes another step back after last year and certainly the couple of years before, and I think Arizona State comes in and wins a pretty close one. I can see A&M throwing a pick late in the red zone or on the Arizona State side of the field, and I think Arizona State pulls this one out. This is another one that we differ on.
Well, Kentucky's playing at home against Louisiana Lafayette, or Ooh-La-La, as they like to be called. I don't think there's going to be much Ooh-La-La for them. I think Kentucky wins this game. I don't know if we know much about Kentucky, but I do think they'll win.
Yeah, I think Mark Stoops is doing a great job at Kentucky, and I think they're going to beat up UL Lafayette pretty good.
I agree. I think Kentucky takes that game pretty quickly, and I think, it's another bit intriguing game with Louisiana Lafayette, but I don't think it's going to be a problem for Kentucky in the end. We got a big one here, Texas at Notre Dame, and hey, you know what? I like Charlie Strong. I think he's he spent a year last year getting that program sort of straightened out. Still needs some more athletes, but I'm going with upset this one on this one. I think Texas is going to go in there, and I think it's going to be a very hard fought, very close game. I think Texas wins that one by a field goal.
I agree with Mark. Actually, I think Texas is going to win that game. I think it's going to be close and maybe an ugly game, similar to some of the ones that we saw on Thursday night. But I think Texas is going to pull it out. I'm just not sure that Notre Dame has much this year, and I really do believe that Strong is going to make a big difference there at Texas. And I think maybe this is the time for them to pull it out.
I'm not going to say that I'm on the Notre Dame bandwagon, but I do think Notre Dame wins this game primarily because they're home, and I think they're a little more established. I think the Strong era is in progress, but I think the Golden Domers win.
Okay. LSU and Florida both have a couple of cupcakes going on. Yeah. I think
we don't need to speak about
SEC prevails in those. Absolutely. You can name your score.
Yeah, no doubt. And Adam, your Florida State team, what do you think?
Well, I think they're going to play Texas State, apparently, and I think they're going to have an easy time with it. It's a surprise that Texas State had a team, to be honest with you. So it's another cupcake, so we can move on, right?
I agree. No question about it. Southern Miss is playing at home. How they got Mississippi State to travel to Hattiesburg is a little surprising. I guess that playing an in-state rival, sometimes you can do that. I don't think Southern Miss has got the guns to stay with Dax Prescott, and so I'm going to go with Mississippi State fairly handily. Mark?
Yep, I agree. I think Mississippi State will go down to Hattiesburg and take care of business. Yep. Don't see any problem with that.
It's another blowout.
Yep.
So that leads us to the game, 7 o'clock, just a few hours from now in Dallas, Texas, in Jerry World, ABC Television, Wisconsin coming against the Crimson Tide. Guys, I got to believe Alabama is ready. I don't think that I tend to agree with Feinbaum and our guest picker, Dr. Hood. I think this could be sort of like the West Virginia game. I think Alabama in the end is the better team on the defensive side of the ball, and they will continue to get better offensively, but I think they win. I'm going to say they win by 12 points.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Paul Feinbaum is right. Agree. I think the West Virginia game is a great game to look at, is how I think it's going to go. I think they win big. 12 points is pretty good. I think 12-14 could get up to 17 if they really pull it together, depending on who plays quarterback. Defense is going to own the day, and I think Wisconsin is going to be a little bit down too after a few good years here in the Big Ten. So I agree
with you guys. I also agree with you on the point spread. I think Bama wins it by a couple of touchdowns. I think Coker gets the start, as we've all seemed to agree, and I think Bama goes in there, and it might not be a perfect game. It's the first game, but I think they take care of business, and they get back with the W against Wisconsin.
So we have three games on the Saturday slate where we disagree: Louisville, Auburn, Arizona State, Texas A&M, and Texas Notre Dame. Three marquee games. Monday night, quickly, Labor Day night, Ohio State revenge game in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech. Like the Hokies, but can't pick them. I think Ohio State's got way too many guns.
I agree with you. I think Ohio State is probably going to be sort of a machine starting out the season. It is a little intriguing because it is at Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech did beat them last year.
Got a few players not playing too.
Yep.
Got a few players down.
Yep.
But I think they're going to be too strong. I think Beamer ball is over, to be honest with you. I think that Virginia Tech needs to move into a new direction personally, and I think Ohio State's going to roll.
Yep.
Well, this is fun. A full slate, some cupcakes probably, but some good ones in mixed in. Fearless Picks, week one, they're here. Tune on your TV, start watching the game. Continue to listen to Skybox 90.7 on the Capstone.
We're the Ballad Assembly, and you're listening to 90.7 the Capstone.
We want to thank all of you out there for joining us for the first ever Skybox show here on 90.7 The Capstone. This has been a lot of fun. We're going to be here every week at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and hope you'll stay with us. Hope you'll follow us again on Twitter at Fearless Picks. And I want to shout out right now to thank Terry Siggers, the general manager of the radio station here, and who has kindly agreed to serve as our executive producer here in the beginning. And he's the reason we're on this show and launched this show. And, Terry, we appreciate that. And also thanks to Paul Wright, the director of the Office of Student Media here on campus. Paul's created an environment where we can do great things like this. And hopefully our show is going to not lower the great standard of student media, but contribute to it. We really hope that. I want to thank Melanie Veering, our marketing intern here. Thank you, Melanie. It's great to have you here with us all season. And thanks as well to Andrew Brown, the student station manager, and a great one. It's going to be a great year for WVUA FM 90.7, the Capstone. So we're glad to be a part of that with our show. We want to thank our guests today, Dr. Stephen Hood and also Paul Feinbaum. This has been great to launch the show with those two, and we really appreciate them helping us out here today. And my colleagues here, George Brown and Adam Sterrett, this has been a great show. We've enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting. The first game is over in Dallas. We've got a lot of students who are traveling over there. A lot of you may be listening. We hope you are. You're getting a little bit of lunch and settling in to watch the early morning or early afternoon game before you set off to the big game tonight in Dallas at Jerry World. So just a word of always be safe. A lot of students are traveling. I know a lot of students that we all work very closely with and we teach. And we want you guys to get back and resume classes and be back on campus here Tuesday. So drive safe and bring home a W for us and roll Tide.
Remember to follow us at Fearless Picks throughout the week and leading into next week. Have a great week, everybody. And once again, roll Tide.
Roll Tide.